Reading in St. Mark in the first chapter, I suppose, maybe about, let's see what verse it would be. Over in the 15th verse. All right. In chapter 1, it tells us that, verse 2, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight." Now this is properly punctuated because it is natural print. It's just the printed page. But notice as it goes on over now, it says in the 15th verse, John being a forerunner, and then in the 15th verse, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." As a matter of fact, when we was in Israel and the Lord came upon us as to the Spirit of the Lord and we prophesied down the street of Dolorosa, I recall that this came forth from my lips. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And at that time, there was some literature that was published throughout Israel concerning "The time is fulfilled." I believe maybe that's what the book was called. But anyway, if you'll notice now, if you'll connect this together with something that Jesus said to his disciples, he said something to his disciples as to the kingdom of God, as when they ask, "Why is it that you speak to these people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say?" And Jesus simply answered them by saying, "It is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." So then, not being given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, therefore they that were without could not get it. It was given principally to the elect. And in that, Mark uses the terms here, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." It's very evident that with this, that the kingdom of God had come. So then if we consider that for just a few minutes, that the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of God had come. When he said, as to John being the forerunner, and John, he spoke of the law and the prophets as until John, and then the kingdom of God. So then, in that the kingdom of God had come, it was very evident that sin had been done away with, because the kingdom of God could not come till sin was done away with. Sin of necessity had to be done away with for the kingdom of God to come. And so the fulfilling of the law as to every jot and tittle thus brought the kingdom of God. And from the time that Jesus was crucified, Christ Jesus' spirit, which was the kingdom of God, as to the fullness of God's desire and God's power and God's knowledge, this Christ's spirit, which was the kingdom of God, was now present in the world and available to mankind. And the Bible says since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and men pressed their way into the kingdom. That is to say, as to the inner man pressing against the infiltration of the outer man, that it might press itself against that accusation of fault finding of the accuser of the brethren, pressed against that, it pressed its way, that is to say, a spiritual being from the inner part of man, pressed its way into the spirit and mind of Christ, and accepted by faith the grace of God that was given to humanity through the sacrificial efforts of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So then we see that the kingdom of God had come. So the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. Now, When we say that the time is fulfilled, what do we mean the time is fulfilled? As to what the Bible uses as the time, we preached a sermon one time along these lines. As the Bible gives it, it says, and the time of the promise drew near. The time of the promise drew near. All the time is fulfilled as to the time of the executing of the promise, or the bringing forth of the promise. And that is, we said, and these ordinances of the Old Testament was imposed upon the Jewish people until the time of Reformation as to the seed under whom the promise was made until he become. And that the law had entered that the transgression as to the offense against God might abound or be brought out in such a way that people could see that they were guilty and would look for a means of escape as to repentance that they may find the Messiah or find life because they were cut off from life. And so it is that here it is said, and the time is fulfilled. All the time is at hand. All the time of the promises now come. So then the law and the prophets until John, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and men pressed their way into it. For the Bible said that God hath, that is as of right then or right now, as we would say in our day, God hath translated us as to the inner man into the marvelous kingdom of our God, or that is to say my spirit into Christ's spirit. And so then my inner being had been translated into the spirit of Christ. And that means that I, as the angelic man on the inside, have as of now been translated into the marvelous kingdom of Almighty God. So we see then what is meant by the time is fulfilled. I do this a lot of times. I will sing that song, and time shall be no more. And I say, brethren, sisters in the Lord, time was finished at Calvary. Time was fulfilled at Calvary, because the Bible said in the fullness of time, the time is at hand, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, the promise now has come, the fullness of time as to, we say again, what does he mean the fullness of time? We're talking about the fullness of the time as pertaining to the promise. That the promise was made as to a certain time, the promise should come. That would be the fullness of time as to what God had promised. So then we see that the fullness of time has come, and in the fullness of time, we were promised that he would send forth the promised seed, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So then, as to whom the promise was made, and the time of Reformation is now. So the fullness of time has come, and in that the fullness of time has come, then here comes the promised seed. So we have, as today, Christ within us, the hope of the glory of God. So then, Jesus, here he comes. He alone is made heir to the glory of God, because the promise was as unto him, not as unto seeds of many, but as of seeds of one, even Isaac, or as of seeds of one, even Christ. So then we find that the promised son came. So the kingdom of God is at hand. Now then the kingdom of God is here, not far off. The kingdom of God is not far off, but the kingdom of God is now at hand. See, say not in your heart as to who shall ascend into heaven to bring it down, or who shall go down to the earth to bring it up. It is nigh unto you, even nigh as to your heart and lips, that thou shalt believe in thine heart that Christ Jesus rose from the dead, or that God brought him from the dead, and thou shalt confess this with thy mouth, then ye shall have salvation. For he is the high priest of our confession. I believe unto righteousness with my heart, and confession unto deliverance, which means salvation, is made with my lips. So then we see that the confession of this word, and thus it comes to pass. So then, now we know then that the kingdom of God is at hand. We have a wonderful life. We have a wonderful world. We have a wonderful opportunity. It is now at hand. It's not far off. It is now at hand. The kingdom of God that one time was not with us and so far away that it was not possible for us to reach it. All of a sudden, now it's at hand. So then, I'm going to preach. Peter's going to preach. Paul's going to preach. What are we going to preach? The Bible said, and they preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Somebody said, well, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is two different things, Brother Pike. You say, the kingdom of God's at hand, but not the kingdom of heaven. But it says it's one and the same, and it brings it out the same way. So then the kingdom of heaven within you or the kingdom of God within you is one and the same. So the kingdom of God is at hand. So I'm preaching to you today. The kingdom of God is at hand. You're my generation. I'm your minister. I'm preaching to you, being son of God. I preach to you that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, receive ye the word of the Lord. Receive ye the kingdom of God. Receive ye the message, for this kingdom is at hand. Not far away, but it's now at hand. All right, so the time is fulfilled. Sin has been taken away. The price has been paid for iniquity. The vision is to be sealed up. Everlasting righteousness is to be brought in. As I say, not from revival to revival, but an everlasting righteousness, in that we that are born of God cannot sin. As I told my wife today, I've never heard that preached anywhere in the world. Never read it in a book. Never in all of my life. Maybe you have, and maybe you've read it, maybe you've heard it. I don't know. I never have. But the thing is, that's what God said. That's what the Bible says. That's what I preach. So then he that is born of God cannot sin. It's not possible for him to sin. A man or a woman that is born of God, there's no such thing as them sinning and asking God for forgiveness of their sin. They can't sin to begin with. So then when they said, Lord, teach us to pray, he taught them to pray by saying, Father, forgive us our trespasses, and we forgive those who trespass against us. For the Bible said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither shall your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. And this is vital to salvation as to faith, because when Jesus cursed the fig tree, and when he spoke to him as saying, say what you will, believe in your heart and don't doubt, you can have whatever you ask. He told him, he said, now if you have aught against any, forgive. For if you don't forgive, your heavenly Father won't forgive you. Or that is, you're not going to have this faith unless you keep a clear channel. You're going to have to keep clear channel, and you're not going to have salvation unless you have faith, because salvation is to the Spirit of God comes through faith. All right, so we know where we're going now. So the kingdom of heaven is now at hand. So I preached the kingdom of heaven, and as it was in the time when Philip was preaching, he preached the kingdom of God, and he preached the name of Jesus Christ as the door, as the entrance, as the opening to the kingdom. As to what John saw when he entered into that door at the end of the church ages, as to what Peter did when he said, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom. That he looked beyond the veil and he saw. So then we have the name of Jesus, and I preach, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and your children and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Salvation shall be taught in his name, and there is none other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. So you've got to remember now, he came in his Father's name. A son shall be born. This is to be his name. I've kept them, Father, in your name. And then the Father said, because of this, I will give you a name that no one knows but you, and to whomsoever you reveal it. Whereas I say that what that has to do with is the name that he will give to the bride. She'll take his name. It'll be his name. He'll give her the name. Now, salvation is in the name Jesus. But as to the marriage, as to the bride, then he hath the name. And he said, if you overcome, I'll give you a white stone, this name. See, or I'll give you a name, that is. So then, when we speak of this, don't let anybody deceive you about some kind of new name or whatever. There is no new name that you're ever going to be acquainted with in this world. Never in this world, as to some other name. There is none other name given under the heavens. Under the heaven. You're under the heavens right now. There won't be any other name given under the heavens. Only the name Jesus. And salvation is in none other name. So we go to preach this gospel in the name of Jesus, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. And you can cast out devils in my name. The church can bind on earth and it'll be bound in heaven. And they can loose on earth and loose in heaven. And the Bible said, and whatever two of them agree as touching, it shall be done of my Father. Say what you will. Don't doubt. Believe in your heart. And it shall come to pass. For with the heart you believe under this great one. Wonderful power and this experience, and then confession with the lips is made unto salvation. That if I believe and I say to a man, I say unto a devil that's in the man, Satan, I adjure thee by God to leave. I am making a confession to the faith. If I believe and confess, then the devil will leave. Now I can say, devil, get out of me, and the devils could look back and say, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? But if I'm a son of God, then they also know me. And Jesus said concerning the sons of God, to as many as believe, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So then we believe on his name. Therefore we have the power, or we have the power to become the sons of God. And this is the power. But nevertheless, when you get the power, that's not all there is to it. There must be a confession. See, there must be a confession. If you have this power, do we have this power? Of course we have this power. What kind of power did he give us? What was he talking about? He was talking about the Spirit of Christ. Let me say it like this. He is the great champion of justice, or the power that has completely subdued all of that which belongs to Satan. He had destroyed the works of Satan. He has subdued Satan and destroyed him. So then we have the Holy Ghost, which is Christ, which means it is power over all the enemy, all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt us unless we just through unbelief and trifling, as not praying and fasting and conforming to his desire, allow Satan to come in, as we say, and plow our fields. All right, so then look at Jesus. Here he has power. For the Bible said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, the original rendering, when it has come upon you. Here's Jesus. He's full of the Holy Ghost. But the Bible said he is driven of the Spirit into the wilderness. And there he was 40 days and night. And in those times, being tempted of the devil, he did not eat anything. And then when he returned in the power of the Spirit. He already had the Spirit, which is power, but the potentiality, though it was there, it had not been utilized as to his first great miracle being at the marriage of Cana of Galilee. Some of you have been there with me. So then there he turned the water into wine, and his fame spread throughout the whole nation and the world. So then we see that if I can believe, whatever I believe in my heart, then it will happen. But folks, to say it, that doesn't mean a thing. To go on a fast and feel like it's going to work, it don't mean a thing. You can fast all you want to, you can pray all you want to, but you still may not believe. Because fasting and praying has nothing to do with faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God as to what he promised to believe it. And fasting and praying is the strength of faith. So as I would have faith and not have any fasting and praying, my faith would be dead because it would have no works. But on the other hand, I could do as the Jews did, fast, as the Bible says that they did, and God heard and took no knowledge, because works is also dead without faith. Faith is also dead without works. That is to say, I can have all the works I want to have, but if I don't believe, it still won't happen. It's got to be a genuine conviction of the Bible that I believe, and then my works will add the strength to my faith, and my faith will reach out and take the answer out of God's hand. And if I can believe and not doubt in my heart that whatever I say, it will come to pass. It doesn't matter what it is. Now you might say, well, have you ever done that, Brother Pike? I certainly have. I've said numbers of things in my life. I've said, and it will be that way. And it happened that way. Sometimes it was a phenomenal thing that there was no possible way for it to happen. Somebody would say, then, you mean that everything you ever said happened? I certainly don't mean that. And everything that you ever asked, you got? I absolutely did not. Then somebody said, well, what does the Bible say? It said that everyone that asketh receiveth, and whatever you ask in my name, I'll do. It doesn't alter the word of God at all. It's like the little girl that was praying. She went to God to ask for something, and somebody said, did he answer you? She said, he certainly did. Said, he said, no. Let's give the Lord a hand. So the Lord does answer. Everyone that asks, they do receive. They receive an answer, but they receive the answer according to their believing, according to their faith. Jesus said, as they ask him certain things, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And it was said, we do. He said, according to your faith. If you really believe it, go your way and let's see if it works. Because if you really believe it, it'll work. All right, so we have such a wonderful opportunity. The kingdom of heaven is now at hand. And we could say a lot more on faith tonight. But the kingdom of heaven is now at hand. It is now at hand, the kingdom of heaven. So let's preach the kingdom of heaven. Let's send the gospel into all the world for a witness. Brother Taylor sings that song, send the light, send the light. Send the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. I have set thee as a light among the Gentiles that you may shine unto the ends of the earth for salvation. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So then the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But on the other hand, it says, and it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, though we have the kingdom of heaven, it's like faith and works. Though you have the kingdom of heaven, do you understand the mysteries? See, have you prayed that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that your eyes being enlightened, you might comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this great wonderful thing? One spirit, you may have that. But the Bible said many operations. Do you have that? Do you have an operation for discernment? Do you have an operation as the spirit of revelation? Do you have the operation as to miracles? Do you have the operation as to these many wonderful things as to the word of wisdom? And all of these wonderful gifts that the Bible says is within the body? So then there's one spirit. There are many operations, and you have the opportunity to have one of those operations. And the Bible says for you and I to covet a gift. Pick you out a gift. Covet that gift. Desire that gift. That your profiting may appear to all. You know, whatever you would like to have. Somebody said, well, I don't know that you give me the gift that I want. The Bible says you can have anything that you want, anything that you desire, if you believe it. So then somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. I'd just love to have miracles. You know, if I'd love to grab people out of wheelchairs and open them blind eyes and unstop them deaf ears. But I guess God just wouldn't give it to me. Certainly he would. He'd be glad to give it to you. He's looking for somebody to give it to. You love the Lord? I said he's looking for somebody to give all the gifts to there in the church. He wants to give them to you. That is his body that is displaying the miraculous. He would love to give it to you. But the thing is, are you in condition to receive it? No one can receive anything except it be given him of God. But if it's given to you in Christ, all things that pertain unto life, all things are yours. And without respect to person, what I say to one, I say to all. But can you receive it? Can you receive it? Isn't it true that though men have this supernatural ministry, as to a ministry to where they could tell people their lives and look into their lives and had discernment and could see visions, isn't it true that women also had the same ministry and could do the same thing? God not being respect a person in that there's neither male nor female. Isn't it true that when he said, and they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, that he did not say the males would do it, nor the men would do it. He said, and the believers shall do it, because he puts no difference between them. Now, there's a certain order of all things, and we try to preach that order. But I'm simply saying one thing is, if you can believe it, whatever you want, you can have it. Say it, you can have it. You can believe it, you can have it. So then, I've been fortunate at times I've seen God work miracles. There's been times when I didn't see the miracle work. Why was it? Because my faith wasn't just right, or I had been slack as to strengthening my faith. I had the faith, just like Peter had the same faith sinking as he did when he walked on the water. But see, just a little misconcept, a little fear, a little frustration as he looked down at the water, considering the circumstantial environments, instead of keeping his eyes right on the word, he began to sink. He still had faith, but just enough to reach up for God to take his hand. Whereas before, he was a master walking on the water. He was a master healing people by his shadow. He was a master that raised people from the dead. So a few minutes later, as we would say, we read over in another place, and here Peter is denying, and here he is cursing, and here Peter is over here, Paul blaming him to his face. He's all frustrated in his doctrine. You know, he's done going back under the law, and he's got the people frustrated, and Paul said, "You've been bewitched, oh foolish Galatians." So then we see that this thing is a matter of believing. Whenever I have my faith right, and I meet people that have their faith right, like Paul, he was preaching, he looked and he saw somebody, and at that particular time, he perceived that they had faith to be healed. So he cried out, "Stand on your feet," and they got on their feet because they were healed. And as Peter, when he met the man at the temple, and the man gave heed to Peter as to believing that Peter was going to give him something, when Peter went by and spoke to him, and he expecting an offering, but he was believing. And Peter said, "Gold and silver have I none, but I do have something to give you." So he was expecting. And as he was expecting to receive it, Peter said, "I'll give this to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And the Bible said, suddenly his ankle bones received strength. You know, we like to say, well, that good old law of average, you know, if we get about 100,000 and we keep on, somebody's going to get excited and they're going to jump up out of that wheelchair, because really they're not bound. You know, they just kind of got in that condition because of not really exercising and not really believing that they could walk, and they're going to get excited and get up and walk. Somebody's going to say, "Glory to God, look at that preacher." You know, but that isn't the way it works. It said, and immediately his ankle bones received strength. There was a supernatural move of God, and his ankle bone received strength. And then he leaped up because he had been that way from his mother's womb. So we see that this thing is real. And what we're trying to do is come to a place to where we can perform the supernatural, and to do that, it has to be by faith. You know, can't you just see? I believe in my heart, and I say unto that mountain, "Be thou removed," to get out of the way. And we say, "Well, it never was fashioned down good anyway, and a little wind blew about the time I said that, and it was just to my favor." No, that ain't the way it works. See, it takes the supernatural of God, and you need to get out of that hypocritical, fictitious mind of hoping as to the law of average, or putting on some kind of show, and get the Spirit of God and get full of the Spirit of God, that you might be able to help those that are in need. Whatever your measure is, give it to them, and keep building, keep praying, keep fasting, keep studying, keep believing, keep seeking God, and contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. As to them, when Joshua said, "Let the sun and the moon stand still," when Moses said, "Let the water separate," and all these great and mighty things, as to the Bible speaking of these, even in the days of the apostolic leaders, pointing back to that, said, "Let us contend for the faith that was once delivered unto Joshua and Moses." All right, now here we are looking back to the apostolic leaders, and we say, "Let us contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the apostolic leaders," or as to Joshua and Moses. All right, so the kingdom of God is at hand. Then are we spiritual? Paul said, "I would that you were spiritual." Are we spiritual? Well, we're not even spiritual enough to even sit through a good sermon. We're not even spiritual enough to stay away from the cafe on Sunday. We have to go from store to store and from goody to goody. We always want to talk, fellowship, buy, make money, set up our business, be a glamour boy or glamour girl, you know. And we talk about being spiritual. You can't heal somebody because you say, "Bless God, I believe it, get up from there." You've got to have the Spirit of God, and you've got to be full of the Spirit of God. And as the Bible said, it's not by power or might, but it's by the emanating Spirit of God from Christ in you that goes forth, even as when the woman touched Jesus, and he said, "I perceive that virtue went out of my body," and she perceived something went into her and she was healed. Well, that is to say, it has to be the Spirit of God. The Bible said, be filled with the Spirit. Those men that worked the great things in the early apostolic days, the Bible said they tarried until they were filled with the Spirit. And then when they went out and they emptied out to the extent that it was drawn from their body, they went back and they stayed before God till they were filled again. Now, I do not tell you that you have to tarry to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They had to tarry till the Holy Ghost come. And now the Holy Ghost can be given to you by the laying on of hands. But if you have the Holy Ghost, which is power, all power over the powers of the enemy, for greater is he, the Holy Ghost, within you than he, Satan, that is in the world. But at the same time, you've got to strengthen that as it was with Abraham, who was strong in faith, who staggered not at the promises of God, but was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Or that is, we've got to strengthen that that remains, that God doesn't come and move it. So then, if we have the Holy Ghost, then we still must strengthen our faith that we can go forth in the power of the Spirit. Or that we can take this into Christ and break down the resistance of this outer body until we have charged this outer man with virtue. And this virtue can go forth without any hindrance to those that are out there that's in need, that's crying for just a crumb. All right. So then the kingdom of God is here at last. Now, do we understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God? No, not unless we're really genuinely partakers of the kingdom, as to have it on the inside, and then as to the operation of having the spirit of revelation, that this might be revelated to our mind. So then we're asking God to give us the spirit of revelation. We're trying to be spiritual, as Paul said. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. God is a spirit. This is the thing that Jesus understood when he talked to the woman at the well. And she said, over here in this mountain, we worshiped and all these kind of things. Jesus said, look, lady, a woman, he said, the time has come. It now is. When true worshipers must worship God in spirit, because God is a spirit. And he seeketh such to worship him. We must worship him with our spirit. Paul said, the God whom I serve with my spirit, not with my intellect of seeing how much I can learn out of books and be smart and put this thing together. That's the greatest hindrance that you could have with God. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God. The more you learn, the more puffed up you are. Because knowledge puffeth up. But getting into the spirit is to edification, and then this charitable edification all of a sudden fills us with the overflowing spirit. Somebody said, well, that's the way I am. I just cry. Glory to God, I just bawl. That ain't got nothing to do with being spiritual. You know, you bawl like a baby, that don't mean nothing. Might be that you're a baby. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'm not talking about that silly thing where you go out in the world and you do every dirty, filthy, low-down, ugly thing just as mean and hard as nails, can just chop people in two with your words and do any way you want to, and then just swell up and bawl like Esau, you know. That don't mean that you got the birthright. But it is true that Jesus did stand at the tomb of Lazarus and he did weep because he was tender. He was tender. But because you weep, that don't mean a thing. You know, you can pull the trigger and blow a man's brains out and says, this just breaks my heart, you know, and kill him right on the spot. And you can bubble in the beer and drink whiskey and just bawl like a baby, listen to some kind of blues song, you know, because the wife left you for a few days, or you left her for a few days, or you're having some kind of problems. The doctor told you, you know, he's going to die because you won't listen to anybody, you know, and just be just as mean and contrary as the devil. But it is a true fact that tenderness, that compassion does accompany true faith. And being filled with the Spirit, you know, you don't go around becoming a crybaby. The Bible said that Jesus rebuked them, and the Bible said that we should rebuke them sharply. We're set there in the ministry to reprove, to rebuke, with all patience, with all long suffering. Though it does say Jesus cried, he offered up supplication with strong crying, but yet he was a man when he was standing there, and he said, you Pharisees and scribes, you hypocrites. He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell, seeing that people do the things that they've done, and you know that they went to hell, and you do the same thing. See, and so it was strong. It was powerful. And they said, never man spake like this man, for he teaches us not as the scribe, but as one that hath authority. So then, as I say, when you say unto the unclean spirit, go, then you've got to believe that. Because it doesn't make any difference if you say go. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, my Bible tells me that all I got to do is resist the devil and he'll flee from me. Well, then you need to read my Bible, because my Bible says draw nigh to God and then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So you better not draw nigh to God, and you better get the Holy Ghost as to an infilling and get filled with the Spirit before you start resisting the devil. Because resisting the devil isn't going to do any good at all unless you've drawn nigh to God. And that means your spirit is going to have to draw nigh to his word spirit as eating of his flesh, as the word made flesh in your flesh, and drinking of his blood as the his blood, which is his spirit, as royal blood within your body. All right, so the kingdom of God is at hand. Thus are the mysteries made available to you and I. So then, if we can break down the mysteries, if we can understand the mysteries, where does this faith of Christ come from? It comes from the mysteries. I can have the word of God, and faith cometh by the hearing of the word. But the thing is, Jesus said, my word is spirit. If it's just a matter of the word, why isn't miracles just taking place everywhere? Because it's within the confines of the word. It is a spiritual thing, a spiritual power. When you can turn that word into spirit, when you can turn it into power, when you can turn it into life, it'll kill a germ, it'll kill a disease. When this thing goes into your vein, it's when that viper bit Paul and Paul shook it off, paid no attention to it, and when they expected him to fall down dead, he just went on and they said he's a god. And because of that, people's faith was stirred. God wanted a revival in this island, and he couldn't have a revival. There was no advertisement of a great man of God among them. Paul could not have convinced them that he was a great man of God by telling them. But when this viper latched onto the arm, it was the act of God. And when that viper struck, they said, this man is a bad fella, having escaped the vengeance of the sea. Now God has caught up with him and he's going to die because of this deadly viper. But when he shook it off in the flames and he didn't even pay any attention to it, and the Bible said afterwards there was no harm that came from it, they said he's a god. And his fame spread throughout the island, and all he had to do was just tell them and speak the word, and they listened to him, and the gospel was put over. See, as in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, it was the same way. They couldn't convince Nebuchadnezzar of anything. But when the Hebrew children were thrown into the fire and Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and when they came out, and the Bible said that those Hebrew children, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that there wasn't even the smell of fire on them, not even a scorched garment. Then the old king, he was so stirred up, he said, there's no God in the world like Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego's God. Said, and I make a decree that everybody will worship their God. That if you do anything contrary to their God, he said, I'll turn your house into a dunghill. Let's give the Lord. See, God wanted praise and honor, and God suffers you and I to go through these tests that he might magnify himself in our life. But you know, we say, Lord, pour it on. Give me television. Lord, make me famous. Make me handsome. Make me good looking, some woman says, you know. And all these kind of things. And she powders her nose and paints her eyebrows, you know. And she gets on television, she tells them how to believe. Let's give the Lord a hand. Or we get somebody else on television, you know, and say, folks, I perceive I've got a gift. And I perceive there couldn't be more than 100 million out there, 200 million, or 500 million. And out there, I believe somebody's got a toothache. Let's give it all to him. I can discern it. Somebody said, Brother Pike, that's exactly the way they do it. But nevertheless, God, the wisdom of God is among us. And the Bible said wisdom is justified by her children, because there are people in the world that have gifts. There are people that can do things, people that can say things. I've met them personally. And I've seen them do it, and I know that it was real. And then I have seen them when it isn't real. There's a man on television, he does regular like Brother Branham. He does all these things, and as far as you can tell, it is absolutely profoundly the truth, and I don't believe it at all. I saw it while I was over in Alaska. Rick turned on the TV, and he was excited that I should see it. And, of course, he didn't believe it either. But I saw them put the legs together like this, you know. And they put the legs together and they put the cameras right on it. Whereas this has been something they preached down through the ears of the lengthening of the legs. Anyway, I started to tell about somebody that, somebody's supposed to have done that too, but it's the same condition today. But anyway, they put the legs together. And I know God does do those things supernaturally. But they put those legs together, put the camera on it, and sure enough, you could see beyond a shadow of a doubt, the leg came out just even with the other one. And somebody said, well, don't you believe that? Don't you believe what you saw? I believe exactly what I saw. And I have seen that they will take those legs like that, those feet, and turn them just a little bit. And they're a little bit short. And as everything's there, they just turn both of them just a little bit at a time, and they just come just as even. And it works just perfect for them. Oh, somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. I know it happened. It happened to my sister. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then, that's the way they do it. But nevertheless, there's some great, mighty movings of God to where God really does the supernatural. And I believe in it, but there's something that connects with it. There's something that makes you know that that's real. There's something that connects with it to where you believe that. But all of this other, it's a lot of showmanship, and it has nothing to do with God. God is real. The miracles of God are real. And those things are real when they miraculously take place. All right, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, does it just come to the elect? Absolutely not. Though it is the children's bread, yet the rain is upon the just and the unjust. And when the manna came down there in the wilderness, it came to all of them that was willing to go out and get it. So then grace is upon all. And even though there is a hidden manner as to this revelational knowledge, it will translate the church. Whereas God said, and I will give to him that overcometh to eat of the hidden manner. See, it's a different thing altogether as of this. And there are within our confines as to the radius of the church people who have gifts as to the membership of the body. All right, so the kingdom of God is at hand. At last it has got here. The time has been fulfilled. Now we know that the time of the promise has come. It drew near, but now we know that it has come. And so then we know that we are partakers of this wonderful thing, and now the kingdom of God is not only at hand, but the kingdom of God is within us. And the Bible said, and they'll come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they'll sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom, and the children of the kingdom be cast into outer darkness. And we've related to you that the Jews were the children of the kingdom as to David. But when they did not receive the Messiah, they went into the outer darkness, cut off from God, blinded in part, and still doesn't know that Jesus is the Messiah. And from the east and the west, the south and the north, came the Gentiles, and they by faith was translated into the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, you shall see them go into the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves shall be cast out. And there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And thus it has been with the Jews at the wailing wall. They've cried and begged, but they're still blind. I believe it's Tuesday that we start preaching on the Lebanon station, and we hope to be able to do some good. I know people say, stay away from the Jews, you'll never be able to convert them. That's not Bible. The Bible said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the Jews. Let's give the Lord a hand. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And already there's 100,000 that they say that they know of that's been converted. And we go to preach. I do say this, that there is 144,000 that's sealed over in the sixth seal. There with the sixth seal is open. Now, there's 144,000 that are sealed, and this is the whole house of Israel, and it is going to take that to bring this 144,000 together, but it doesn't mean that there hasn't been any gospel that they've heard before. It doesn't mean that we're not going to preach the gospel as to where they could hear it. It doesn't mean that all of the rest, as to the woman that goes to her place, for times, time, and half a time, are the remnant. It doesn't mean that they haven't heard the gospel or won't hear the gospel. I know as of a truth that we ourselves have put much gospel into Israel. Somebody said, well, bless God, they throw it in the garbage can. No, they didn't. I've seen them stand and read it. Not only that, but I have been there, as I told you, when I remember a young soldier, we had given out to many soldiers the literature, and I saw a young soldier, he come down off of the truck, left the show soldiers, and came over and said, Brother Pike or Sister Pike, to us, he addressed us as to whatever he knew us to be, and he said, I am a Christian, but I can't tell them. I'm with the Jews, I'm with this army, I can't say this to them, but I want y'all to know that I am a Christian. I'm a child of God. See, let's give the Lord another hand. So that means that whether you believe the Jews can get it or not get it, they still are getting it. So then we need to carry the gospel to them. And from Bethlehem, the gospel has gone all over Israel. I mean all over Israel, from town to town. And we've had a little part in it. And I thank God for that. Some of our men that went over with us, they stuck tracks in every nook and crevice. And when they locked up Brother Bradley over there, it upset me so bad. As I told you, I went up there and I talked to them about Brother Bradley. And while I was getting him released, I just got them to read some literature themselves and gave them some tracts. And left them with tracts and went down the street of Dolorosa because I was really upset over it. And I said, well, praise God, if they're going to do our people like that, we're really going to give out literature because we was warned not to do it. So we went down the streets of Dolorosa, which is just like ants almost crawling at certain times. And I mean, we just passed out everything we had, everything that we could get our hands on. See, so we preach the gospel just like I'll be doing by the help of God over the radio there come Tuesday from Lebanon. Our voice will be heard on the gospel of Christ. And as Brother Bill could tell you, as for those sermons were specially made, almost every one of them went directly to the Old Testament, to the revelation of God. As to those few minutes that we talked, things were unveiled, and there's no way that they could hear that if they're elect without the scales falling from their eyes or it affecting them in some way to make them hunger and thirst after more of that. All right, so then the Lord has blessed us, and what is it? It's the kingdom of God at hand. But I say again, that you and I, we need to be thankful that the kingdom of God is being revealed to us. Though it's at hand, it was not revealed to them. And you can be thankful that it's being revealed to you, but if you get the lifted up feeling that it's going to be, and Brother Pike will give it to us because he's our minister, it'll be just like it was as for a number of years when it just cut off among the people. It cut off because they begin to hunger after businesses and money and all of the things of the world, and it just cut off. And we didn't even talk to them as the way we're talking to them now, as 5 hours the other night. I believe that they said it was about 5 hours that we were there, and most all of that was ministering. So then the Lord is speaking. The Lord is talking again. And don't be ugly. Don't go out there and listen to this and then come to the meeting here and then be all filled up and not hunger and thirst in the sense that I take a text and say, well, I've heard that, because everything that I do will still be new. There'll be something that you haven't heard. And another thing, when you don't hunger and thirst, then the babes aren't fed. When Jesus said, if you love me, feed my lambs, and the rest of the people that's in the sanctuary don't get anything. So then you need to be careful, or else God will take what you got away from you, to the extent that you'll find out you're just a reflector and your heart wasn't right to start with. All right, so then we see this marvelous thing, and even as we could say a lot here tonight as pertaining to Brother Couch and some other things. It's that time, and the time of the promise drew near, and the kingdom of God is at hand, and to repent, to receive ye the kingdom of God, and pray that God will give you the spirit of revelation that you may understand the wonderful mysteries of this great, wonderful God of heaven and be part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Well, it would take hours and hours just to relate a little bit as to what his bride is. I hear so many people going around talking about being the bride. Some of them not even children, let alone in womanhood as to be the bride. But nevertheless, you know, wisdom is justified of her children. Let's stand together. Being Sunday night, I know that many of you have to get on with your projects in life and the things that you want to do or the things that you've got laid out. And I have to get on with what I've got to do and whatever my project is as to what God has laid out for me. And it's up to you and it's up to me to do whatever our life calls for. I have to do whatever my life calls for. That's all I can do because I can't receive anything save it be given me of God. And I have to do that. At the same time, you have to do the same thing. Whatever your life calls for, whatever your ordination is as to foreknowledge, you're going to do it, and it's going to be of your own accord. It's going to be of your own sovereignty. It's going to be of your own desire. It's just the fact that before you do it, God's already seen it before the foundation of the world. And you tonight are, you're still alive. That means you still got your sovereignty. Somebody says, well, if you saw me as a devil, I might as well go and be on devil. Well, it's pretty good proof that he saw you as a devil, and you might as well go and be a devil because that attitude proves that's what you are. But on the other hand, what we need to do is stop and consider that we are still alive. He hasn't seen, though he's already seen the end of our life as to what we're going to be at the end of the way. Yet, though he hath seen it, we are still alive, and we've not got to the end of the way yet. And what we do between now and the time we get to the end of the way is what he saw. And you still have your sovereignty as to do. And what he saw was that the minister was telling you the very thing I'm telling you right now to see what you would do with it. And at the end of the way, he would find you as it would be. As Daniel said, and at the time of the end will come at the time appointed. The Moed. All right. So let's sing together. Let's sing I Love Him. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me and he salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. The Lord, every promise in the book is mine. Let's sing another little chorus or two. Every once in a while, I like to introduce a new chorus, but it makes it a little bit difficult to keep you in the spirit when we introduce a new chorus because sometimes you don't know it and you don't sing it with me, and we have to sing it over a time or two before you get a hold of it. That's why I stay a lot of times with the stream as to the ones that you do know, as to give a chance for you to coordinate and flow right into the Spirit of the Lord to move. If you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the road seems rough and long, but together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. If you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop.
lift up your head, look, for there's the mountain top. And when we stand upon the hill, be so glad that you tried. For together we will praise the Lord, shout down the other side. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the road seems rough and hard, together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help to carry your load. Sing it with me. And if I help you carry the load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, cause there's the mountain top. And when you stand upon the hill, be so glad that you tried. For together we will praise the Lord, shout down the other side. One more time. You'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. All the road seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load.
All right. Let's sing another little chorus together before we dismiss tonight.
And time shall be no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
Fullness of time now.
And time shall be set in wind.
No more.
The seed to whom the promise was made is come. We're the seed. We're born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And it was to us, not as seed to the many, but as the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Even as one, Father, make these one, even as we're one. And as to us was the promise given. And now that the seed has come, so the kingdom of God is here. And now, since the kingdom of God is here, Father, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that thy kingdom come. Now let thy will be done. No more. No, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, for time shall be no more.
Sing it again now.
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
Just once again.
Our time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and I shall be no more. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away. Once again, and we will praise Him. We will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and we'll every stain. And He was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time. Sing it again now. Sing it, Brother Taylor. He was patiently in line. My Lord was here all the time, for He was here all the time, and He was waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time.
All right, Jesus was here all the time. Can we sing this little chorus? Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I walk no more. My cup and make me whole. Sing it with me. So fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench
thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. My heart sings out when I pause to remember that heartaches here are but a stepping stone. This trail of a life that's winding ever upward, this troubled world is not my final home. Sing that with me now. For until then, my heart will go on singing. And until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. For until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, by faith I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. For on singing, and until then, by faith, I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home.
Let's just lift our hands and close our eyes. Until then. Until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, by faith, I'll carry on. Until my eyes behold the city. Let's see if we can sing this little chorus with our hands lifted up and our eyes closed. My heart cries out, oh Lord, how long till my toiling in and you call me home? Since I've caught a glimpse of my home in the sky, nothing in this world seems to satisfy. Is that the lights of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? Is that the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony? That's the lights of home. It's a wonderful sight.
to me. Seems I can hear the angels sing with harps of gold and a thousand strings. This world for me, it holds no charm since I've heard that song. I'm bound for home. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? Is that the Lord on heaven's balcony? That's the lights of home. It's a welcome sight to me. Is that the lights,
sing with me,
of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? Is that standing high on heaven's balcony? That's the lights of home. It's a welcome sight to me. One more time. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? Standing high on heaven's balcony, that's the lights of home. It's a welcome sight to me. One more time. Is that the light? Sing it with me. Of home I see. I feel a breeze on the crystal sea. The Lord standing high on heaven's balcony. The lights of home, it's a welcome sight to me.
Can you sing one more time?
Is that the lights?
I believe it is.
Of home I see,
that's the lights of home, the revelation of life.
Do I see? I feel a breeze from the crystal sea. With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight.
Just one more time together.
The lights of the home you see. Do you feel a breeze from the crystal sea? The Lord standing high on heaven's balcony. It's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me.
Let's give him another hand.
Let's just lift our hands up together. Close our eyes together. Love the Lord. Let's just bow our heads, close our eyes together. I think I'll ask Brother Steve Douglas, if he will, to come up and dismiss us tonight. And while Steve is coming, let's reverence the Lord. This really is the lights of home. And, you know, you can just feel that tranquility of the peace of God from that mist, from that heavenly sea.
as from the sea of life that's flowing down from the throne. Is that the lights of home I see? Do I feel a mist from the crystal sea? Is that the Lord that's standing high on heaven's balcony? Oh, that's the lights of home. It's a welcome sight to me. One more time, let's sing that together with our eyes closed and our hands lifted up as Steve comes. Is that the lights
of home I see?
Do I feel the mist
from the crystal sea?
The Lord standing high on heaven's balcony. It's the lights of home, a welcome sight. One more time as Steve comes. Is that the lights of my home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight. One more time, let's sing it like this. Yes, that's the lights of home we see, and we feel the breeze from the crystal sea. With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Can you say amen as Steve comes? Let's just lift our hands and love the Lord as Steve comes to dismiss us tonight.